You offended me. You offended my family.
You have offended me. You have offended my family.
Welcome to On the Offensive, the Itch Edition, where we talk about fantasy sports, amongst other issues. Obviously, today, we have to talk a little bit about the thing that's taken the entire nation, basketball world, by storm, which is, of course, Linsanity. But let me first introduce everyone off to our podcast members here today. Of course, we have in front of me Mr. Justin Lin, over to the side, who will make some occasional comments, Anderson Lay, Greg Daurier. My name is Jimmy Tsai, and of course, over here we have Anson Ho, who skipped out on the last sports podcast, even though he was the accuser.
Yeah, man.
For a bad trade. But anyways,
well,
okay.
Before we get started, I've been getting, you know, from our last podcast, it was awesome because we actually have like a group of listeners, and but what, some of the feedback is, why are we talking sports?
Why are we talking sports, Justin?
You know why?
Why not?
Because anybody can talk sports.
It's so true. Well, and we happen to be involved in the greatest fantasy league of all time, which these aren't my words. These are the words of Bill Simmons, who is a featured columnist on ESPN.com and Grantland, right? Okay, so I think we have a little bit of a platform on which to stand, don't we?
I'm going to stop this. Dude, I caught you already.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, we have to impose a little bit of a time limit here. But okay, well, in terms of our fantasy league, let's just update everyone in terms of where we are actual standing-wise. What's going on in the greatest fantasy league of all time? Justin, you all have basically...
I have a very nice cushion ahead of everybody. But this morning...
Very commanding.
I did get an email from Sal the Machine saying, I give up, you win this year, which usually means I'm fucked.
Well, don't get too comfortable because, I mean, the last two or three years, we've had someone who has started out of the gate on fire. I remember a few years ago, it happened to me, and it's someone who, you know, basically takes the bulls by the horns, and for the overwhelming majority of the season, let's say like up until two or three weeks left before the season, has a very comfortable lead on first place. And then all of a sudden, it starts getting really hairy in those last couple of weeks. And I think the two times where we've had someone with such an amazing pad has ended up losing. Well, not losing, but, you know, ended up in second or third place at the very end of the season. So what I'm saying to you, Justin, is don't get too comfortable on that.
I mean, all I know in the last 2 months, when I get up in the morning and I turn on my computer, I'm a happy man.
Well, I, on the other hand,
that can't
the
be
bottom
changed.
Three of the league. Greg, you're up there.
I'm in third place.
With second
right
and
now.
Third, right? And Anson, you were up there for a little while, I remember, at the beginning, right? But you have since slid
he
down.
He is
to
now,
the
his
pack.
Team is stacked.
I'm in
for a guy
fifth or sixth
who
place,
sits there and accuses other people.
I know where this is going.
He sure has made some trades with his buddies from Highland Park.
Get ready, Anson.
I think the issue is we're all against whoever's in first place. Am I not?
Yes.
Yeah, that's,
dude,
that's correct.
No, that's not even true. You guys are all against me.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
I first place.
No. I tried to make a trade with my brother. My brother, okay?
When?
And for Chalmers, okay? It was more than a fair trade. You're so for Chalmers. And he said, I need some draft picks or else people can think we're colluding. For
true.
My own
yeah.
brother. On a fair trade, I had to give up more draft picks.
And what'd you give him? What draft pick? Let me guess, your very last draft pick?
No, fifth. I get fifth and eighth.
Oh, your fifth and your last pick.
Yeah.
All right.
Which actually calculate be the very last pick of the entire draft.
Right. If you
because if you come in first place, then that's the very last pick.
Hey, it's a pick.
Which you
hey,
would,
better than when I traded to Winston my 10th round draft pick. Because it never
existed.
Which
you wouldn't even use because you have an extra pick.
Exactly. He's giving away nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're losing
fifth
nothing.
Fifth round!
So you're losing nothing.
All right, all right.
Now, going on to the
and
original
you,
question.
And you gave him your sixth round, right?
Huh?
What?
You swapped.
Right, I got his sixth round.
Okay, let's go back to your original, your question of why we're talking sports. Now, I happen to think that in this current period that we're in this time and space that we're in right now, we actually have quite a bit that we could talk about that we have a very interesting perspective on, and that's this whole Jeremy Lin phenomenon going right now, ooh, right? Well, you know, Jeremy Lin on the New York Knicks, who I happen to actually
Chink in the armor.
Oh, him.
No, you should say that. I can't.
Asian. All right, let me throw just the big question out there, all right? The big question is, does Jeremy Lin's ascent to, you know, the top of the basketball world, does it really affect any kind of change out there in the world as we know it?
Yes. I think it does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
I mean, David Chan, he talks about the fact that his kids, 2.5 weeks ago, weren't even interested in basketball. And all of a sudden, with the emergence of Jeremy Lin, he said his kids are outside playing basketball. Yes, it definitely will make a difference.
I think, yeah, my mom watches basketball now. You know, she, just because of Jeremy Lin.
In about 5 years, your mom will be in the NBA. Yeah.
And you're going to trade for her.
Yeah. I will draft her on my ninth round draft pick.
Well, I'm curious because, I mean, what I have seen basically reflected in Jeremy Lin's journey is something that we see also in the film industry a lot, right? Let's kind of take everyone back to the amazing convergence of, you know, this perfect storm of things that had to happen in order for Linsanity to take place. Because Linsanity, you know, in speaking of it, is this explosion where he's become all of a sudden the absolute talk of the entire, not just the country, but the entire world. Whereas, okay, let's assume that, you know, after getting drafted by the Warriors initially, you know.
He wasn't drafted.
I'm sorry, not drafted. After being picked up in the Warriors in that offseason where he came out of college. Would you disagree if I said, in a best case scenario, at that point in time, he could have gone on to, let's say, like a Steve Nash type career, right? Where, you know, over the course of, let's say,
that's a pretty best case career.
That's an amazing career.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's the best case scenario.
I mean, I'm talking about in terms of his ascent to where, you know, compared to where he is now. Like, it would have been, let's say, like in the first 2 or 3 years, you know, he would get maybe some spotty playing time here or there. But by his second or third year, you know, maybe he would be a solid backup point
guard.
You're being too kind.
But
that's what I'm saying in the best case scenario. But so let's go through the perfect storm of all these different things that had to happen in order for him to really explode onto the scene. Right?
So can I, just so that I have a sense, what you're talking about is the fact that he went overnight from being almost cut to being the talk of the league and the world.
Right. Because
we're talking about the meteoric ascent.
Right, because I think in a regular trajectory, again, in a best case trajectory, like I was saying, you know, he would develop into a decent, you know, backup point guard, right? And then eventually maybe in like his third, fourth, or fifth year, he would get that Steve Nash type opportunity where he would get to start and then potentially, you know, carry a team by being the starting point guard, right? No one could have ever foreseen what has actually occurred in the last 2 weeks.
I think I could have foreseen.
I foresaw.
Not for him, but the fact that the fucking Knicks are so stupid that they would hire D'Antoni and would never put a decent point guard in that system.
Okay, but they did last year and they traded him away.
But he wasn't, look, as much as Felton is great in that system, he wasn't the best fit for that system either.
You're wrong.
Maybe not the best fit, but he was Steve Nash, who had a good career going, and once he got in that system, he won 2 MVPs.
Yes.
Right.
But those are kind of inflated numbers, am I not? I mean, for Steve Nash in that system.
This is another question.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Any smart guard,
yeah.
you know, an Isaiah Thomas, any smart guard who can play pick and roll, can shoot, they would thrive in that system.
Yes.
And the Knicks had hired a coach that ran the exact same system as he did in Italy with the Suns, and they refused to get him what he needed.
Okay, there's a lot of talk about, oh, you know, Jeremy Lin is a product of the system, but let's talk about specific names here. Who else is out there who is a point guard who could fit D'Antoni's system as ideally as someone like Jeremy Lin has?
Steve Nash.
Okay, outside of Steve Nash, who's obviously, you know, who has obviously thrived in the system, but out of the younger set of point guards, who is there that you can name who would fit, maybe not to the degree of Jeremy Lin, but...
I'll tell you, if you put Rittenour on the Knicks, what would he do?
He'd do good.
I think he'd be pretty good.
Okay, yeah. Luke Rittenour is one name. Is there anyone else?
Kyle Lowry?
is Kyle
because the
Lowry
ball is
that,
the ball yeah. is in his hands a lot, so he yeah. might be someone that, that would actually fit pretty well in that system.
But he's not as much of a speedy point guard, right? As,
well, Steve Nash not that fast.
But he does do a lot of dribble penetration. You know, Kyle Lowry doesn't put the ball to the floor as much as these guys do, though.
I can never say Steve Nash is a fast.
He's quick.
No, I don't think he's even quick. He's smart. I think rhythmically, he's able to create spacing.
You're slurring a white player, is what you're saying. You're saying he doesn't have the physical abilities of
Oh, like a Steve Blake?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and the flip side of that question is how does Lin fit into another system? And again, this is going back to the idea that it had to be D'Antoni's system where he could explode onto the scene. Whereas, okay, if like, let's say he was someplace like Houston, right, where he was the second team that he was cut from this year. If he was in a place like Houston, he wouldn't necessarily have the kind of, you know, explosive trajectory that he's had with the New York Knicks. Am I correct or no?
Look, I don't system-wide... We can talk about it. Yeah, definitely D'Antoni's system is great for a point guard of the way, you know, the way Jeremy Lin plays fits perfectly. But the other thing that's great is the fact that he's able to do it in New York. How many stars have you seen that have gone to New York and just wilted?
Many.
Many. So that's something that system wide, whatever it is, there was an opportunity, he was able to capitalize, you know.
There's something he said in an interview which I found very interesting. He said last year he played scared, and he said when he got his chance, he said, I'm just going to play my game. I'm going to play aggressive. And he just let it fly once he got in against the Nets 2 weeks ago. So theoretically, maybe if he got a chance, say in Houston, maybe he would have done not quite as meteoric, but he would have done better than he did in his first year because he just said, I'm going to play the way I know how to play, and I'm going to see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least I'm going to go down playing my style.
But also, I mean, the other thing is that the Knicks were, what, 8-15 when he started playing? I mean, to be honest, if he was playing on a mediocre to a good team and the amount of turnovers he was committing, he probably would have gotten pulled out of the game right there and then.
Absolutely.
You know? But so you're right. It's a perfect storm in the sense that you needed the Knicks coming in with these three big stars, thinking that they're going to be a title contender, and then two of them are, you know, taking a little break.
Condensed schedule.
Yeah, the condensed schedule.
Right, and then also the failed experiments of Tony Douglas at point guard, Iman Shumpert at point guard, right?
Mike Bibby.
Yeah. Baron Davis. Remember, Baron Davis injured also going for longer than it actually was.
That's what I was going to throw in. Let's say Baron Davis was relatively healthy. Lin doesn't get on the court,
right,
to be honest with you.
Yeah,
they wouldn't because Baron is a legitimate point guard. Tony Douglas is not a point guard. Shumpert is a combo guard. He can't run the point either. But Baron Davis is a good point guard.
Right, and if Baron Davis had come in earlier, you know, maybe Jeremy Lin gets whatever, you know, 10 minutes as a backup, right? But there's no way that he could have this type of explosive, you know, these performances in a row as he has in real life.
The Knicks were desperate, and the other thing is. If Davis was relatively healthy, the same bias that the rest of the league had about Jeremy Lin would have still applied in that situation, which is this is a kid who plays out of Harvard, who was not drafted by any team in the league. There's no way we're going to give this guy the keys to the engine and say, you drive the bus.
But you guys are optimistic about this really affecting change in the way that people view, let's say, like younger Asian American players?
I do. I mean... I think it, in a weird way, when Jordan came in, you know, it was at a point where it was must-see TV. You know, when he came in, there was no internet and stuff like that. And when people heard, you know, you just hear the mythology, the myth of Jordan, and you see the posters of him, you know, jumping from the free throw line and stuff, and you had to watch him. And when you watched them, you saw how 6'6 guy was able to do everything. And he changed the game. I mean, I think for the worse. Because you have 7-footers trying to be like Mike and stuff like that. But he did change the game.
Absolutely.
You know? But I think the way Jeremy Lin plays is not that he is unique, you know. He actually is playing Steve Nash's game, you know? And I think because he's getting so much attention, now a lot of kids are saying, wow, if I can't jump out of the gym, you know, I'm going to really study tape. I can, you know, practice my dribbling skills, pick and roll. I can... understand, you know, spacing and rhythm, and I can play.
My real question is, are young Asian American kids going to get a, at least, maybe not a fair shake completely, but at least a fairer shake than they were before? Because, you know, I've been following Jeremy Lin's career since he was at Harvard, and he has not gotten a fair shake at all in terms of what he's accomplished and then the type of attention that he's gotten. And so, again, it is, you know, again, we wouldn't have Linsanity unless this happened and unless this was a story. But it's true, right? He had this amazing career as a high school. He didn't get recruited. You know, Harvard was only the only place that he would play. But he goes up and he beats, you know, ranked opponents. And yet still he's, you know, he's going undrafted. So my question is, you know, for the next group of Asian American ballers, do you think they're going to get a fair shake now that Jeremy Lin has proved?
They'll get a
that
second look.
Yeah.
They will get a second look. But I think that sports cultures are hard really to hard to change. You look at baseball, you know, and basketball. I mean, you're talking about a way of thinking that's been developed over all these years that's probably not the most efficient. But it is a tradition where, you know, it's also people's job on the line. And, you know, they're able to measure things. The intangibles are always really hard to measure. You know, and that's why, you know, when we talked about film and filmmakers, you know, I mean, there's an argument to be had that, you know, just because you have more access now doesn't mean you're going to have more Scorsese's.
Right. And I think the point being in terms of like Asian American, let's say like actors in terms of representation on the camera, the thing that I see parallels in is that, you know, there are these roles in these big movies that, you know, by all rights should go to Asian American actors, but the studios, again, aren't willing to change that culture to say, oh, hey, yeah, hey, that this kid in Up, we don't need to mention his ethnicity, and it can be just as popular, if not an even more popular movie than a character that just happens to have, you know, a Caucasian in the lead, you know? And it's the same thing that I see a lot. It's like, we see these movies in Hollywood where, again, like the characters are written as Asian Americans, but then, you know, for some reason or another, they're like, oh, yeah, they can't perform.
But I think, you know, it goes to the bigger issue because, you know, if there's nobody, if there's no pioneer, a lot of times people get psyched out before they even get in the room. You know, like I've said before, you know, like a lot of times, you know, I try to, every time we do casting, we do colorblind casting, you know, but a lot of times when the Asian Americans get in the room, they're not prepared. You know, it's almost like they've been brainwashed that you're only good enough to do the character roles, the couple lines. So when they come in with 3-page monologues and stuff like that, you know, I have to say that you see the quality. You see people coming in and wanting to own it versus people coming in just glad to be in the room.
And that's what I want to take back to specifically with Jeremy Lin, is when he got his moment, he was ready for it and he took charge of it. And it goes back to what he said his mindset was, which is, I'm going to play this game the way I know how to play it, and I'm going to see what happens from that point forward. But again, I want to go back to your point about how I think it possibly is going to change things, is not necessarily the next group of Asian American athletes trying to make it in the NBA, because I think he's still going to be viewed right now as an aberration. But what I think is going to happen is that as more kids say, hey, I can play this game, slowly but surely, as more of this wave of kids take up the game and are good and start to break down that barrier. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but I'm telling you, this kid is for real, because I'm a Knick fan, so I watch the way he plays the game. This isn't going to just last for 2 weeks. This kid is for real, and I think his impact on Asian Americans, specifically in terms of wanting to play the game, it's going to be like Jordan, where it's going to be a generation of kids that are going to say 20 years down the line, I used to watch Jeremy Lin play the game, and now I'm playing in the association.
It creates awareness.
That's where it's going to make
exactly.
That change.
Exactly. Creates an awareness. I think goes beyond Asian American.
Oh, that.
Because what's happening is that in the 80s, right, when Magic and Bird came into the league, they brought teamwork into the NBA, where in the 70s it was all about these stars, but the league was dying, right? And when they brought teamwork, they made everybody else better. And it really made, you know, stars like Dominique Wilkins and people like that, you know, they became superstars, but they could never win the championship. And you start seeing that teamwork is always more fun to watch when five guys are in sync.
But, there are so many aspects to this story that are unbelievable. I think part of what makes it so amazing, again, is, like, say, unlike Tim Tebow, who was an All-American and who won a national championship, this kid, if I'm not mistaken, there was no college that recruited him. He ends up going to Harvard. No NBA team drafts him. He ends up signing with his hometown team, the Warriors. He gets cut the next year. He gets signed by Houston. He gets cut again. The Knicks pick him up, send him down to the D League, bring him back, and literally were on the verge of cutting him again because they didn't want to pay his guaranteed contract for the rest of the year. This is a kid who was staying on his brother's couch because he didn't want to spend money to get, you know, an apartment in New York City. All of that, besides the fact that he's Asian American, whoever it was, if you throw all those factors in, and then all of a sudden, this unknown gets a chance and becomes the talk of the fucking league. That is such an amazing story. And the fact that he's doing it in New York City, like, say, as opposed to, sorry, San Antonio, which is not a big media marketplace. The fact that he's doing it in New York City, it's such, again, strip out the Asian American component of it, it's such an unbelievable story that if Justin wrote it and directed that movie, I wouldn't go and see it because I say that's total bullshit. It never happens in the real world.
But see, that's the Asian American, you know, again, like having followed his career, I feel it is an integral part because there's all the stuff that he has accomplished as a player if he were any other race, he would have...
No, it's true. You go to basketball camp.
But no, stop. I'm not saying that that's not a big component. Right. I'm saying even if you strip that out and you just talk about the nature of how this guy emerged on the
so
scene.
Fantastical, right?
Besides that, and I'm not... You're absolutely right. And I'm not discounting that at all. But even if you take the race aspect out of it, it's the classic underdog story in so many ways that's happening in real life. It's fucking Rocky. Only
as
this time.
Only this time.
Well, Rudy only played one play.
Though. Rudy can't play.
This guy can play. Yeah. And he's playing in New York City.
Yeah. The other thing I find interesting in terms of a parallel to, you know, the movie world is the whole idea of him being specifically Asian American and how we have like Yao Ming. And you can see in the movie world, it's kind of the same thing. It's like it's in the current state of like globalization, right? We have these huge tentpole movies who want to cast global icons from across the sea. They want to bring in, you know, whatever, the Jackie Chans and the Jet Lis and Chow Yun Fats. And now, the latest crop is like the Jay Chos and, you know, the guy from G.I. Joe, he's, you know, a big Korean star who are imports. And the fact that, you know, is the mainstream aware, you know, let's say the Midwest, are they starting to be able to differentiate between, you know, people who are Asian and the people who are...
It's huge because Yao doesn't speak English well, right?
And but they're grouping him together.
But here's the thing, okay? Don McLean, right? We just played UCLA. I fucking hated him when Yao, you know, he was always complaining that Yao was going to be voted as a starter for the, you know, center for the Western All-Stars for the rest of his career. It's good now, but watch, when his career's starting to sink, those Chinese are going to keep voting for themselves. That talk is going to come back with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what sports does is great is that it's an equalizer, but it also exposes our society for what it is. I mean, I love the story, but I'm telling you, part of me is sitting there watching these games just waiting for the slip-ups. Just waiting.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, that was like, yeah, last Friday, right? When they lost against the Hornets.
So. Yeah, and then I could hear when the announcers, when they start talking about his background, you know, they get a little nervous, you know?
Right.
They don't quite understand Asian American, you know?
Right, and they can't see him as just a kid who actually was born and grew up in America. It's like they can't see past, you know, the face, right? And it's like, it's problematic, is it not?
Yeah, and I think as an Asian American, I'm sensitive when I see that his teammates are doing the bow and stuff.
Right.
It's Ricky Steamboat all over again. Why can't Ricky Steamboat be Ricky Steamboat? Why does he have to be the Dragon Steamboat?
But one of the other things I love about this story is, and I can't describe it, but do you guys see what he and Landry Fields do before they take the
career? What is that?
It has something to do with the Stanford-Harvard connection, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, they're just saying that they're one of the smartest.
They're just saying they're better than the rest of us.
So either, you know, he's flipping through a book, researching, and then they're like, okay, we're done researching. They take off their glasses, like, all right, let's play now.
But can you explain a little bit more? It's like, it's some sort of like hand gestures or like, what are they actually?
No, I don't know. That's what they're doing. I think they're just flipping through a book. Like, okay, we're studying, we're smart. But then now we're going to go play and kick some ass now.
It cracks me up. I love it every time I see it.
No, it's great because I think the great thing about Jeremy, you are seeing personality. You're seeing a kid who loves playing. Mm-hmm.
And he's smart too. I mean, he probably divulges too much information when people ask him, like, oh, how are you going to play with Melo? Or how are you going to do with this defense? And then he like breaks it down, like literally tells the other team, like, oh, you know, well, we should do, you know, put Mel on the other side and then swing it back and forth, or, you know.
But how great was that Laker game, right? When he's being interviewed at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, yeah, I'm going to go in and look at film. And the interviewer was like, you're going in at halftime and looking at film?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, right now.
Like, I guarantee you Melo wouldn't be doing that.
All right, we're not leaving the conversation yet. This is all going to be Lynn related. But let's go into our round table of segment of our podcast that we call Offensive or Not. And for our newcomers, Anderson and Anson here, this is a segment where I give you a topic and you have to tell me whether it's totally offensive, mildly offensive, or not offensive at all. And you can choose to qualify with a statement or two afterwards or just pass it along to the next person. So, Greg, since you've had some experience at this before, we'll start off with you. Offensive or not? Jeremy Lin's going undrafted in light of his current status.
You're going to hate me. Not offensive.
You're going to hate me.
Again, I'm sorry to sort of buy into the status quo. No one could have predicted it. You know, that's... he played at Harvard. He played in a fucking Ivy League school. Am I gonna risk my reputation as a scout or as a GM and draft some kid from Harvard? Fuck no. I'm gonna draft that kid out of North Carolina. I'm sorry to buy in the status quo. I'm not offended. Were they wrong? Obviously. But I'm not offended by that.
Fair enough. Anderson, offensive or not?
That's a good question. I mean, wasn't he like the best high school baller in California?
Absolutely.
And he was like the total, like his high school beat the...
Yes.
You know, yeah, because like... And I think from the get-go, yeah, this is the status quo. And I think just from that alone, and also, I mean, you know, the fact that I watched Harvard ball when he was playing, and like, people noticed too. I mean, he should have gotten at least a fair shot. I think people should have, you know, yeah, like the people did. I mean, like people did notice him, but they never, you know, did anything because of his race. I think that's bottom line.
So is that a mildly offensive or totally offensive?
No, I think it's totally offensive.
It's totally offensive.
Yeah, it is totally offensive, yeah.
Justin Lin.
Well, I mean, I think when you talk about the politics of, you know, ethnicity and stuff,
yeah,
it's offensive in that sense just because, you know, as an Asian American, you know, but as you're seeing how sports... where it creates a great story, and that the fact that it is a great equalizer, that's not offensive because when he had the opportunity, he fucking took over, you know? Yeah. And that's what's so great about sports, because to be honest with you, if he was drafted mid-first round, it wouldn't be as good of a story, you know? And the truth is that, like, I love stories like that. I love it when Mario Elie was, you know, bouncing around, you know? And he was in the Lakers camp, and the Lakers cut him. He ended up being a champion. You play for the Rockets and the Spurs, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You've taken the topic and you've taken it way off axis.
What?
Can you go back to just answering the question? Is it mildly or totally offensive or not?
Well,
offensive,
you know,
at all?
I think this is.
And
a...
stop with all this claptrap, for God's sakes. Because then Anson's got to answer.
I didn't talk about, like, Ben Wallace, man.
You'll get a chance.
You'll get your chance. Totally offensive, mildly offensive, or not offensive
He's
at all?
He's offensive.
Look, I remember when I was, you know, playing sports in high school, and I was, you know, this guy came and tried to recruit me for the, you know, the Japanese American Basketball League. And I felt offended as an Asian American because I felt like, you know, no matter what, I wanted to see how I stacked up against real, you know, like the best of the best. So it was funny, I felt offended being even recruited by a JA league, and I wanted to play varsity ball, and I wanted to play against, you know, Ed O'Bannon and those guys, You know, so I'd be a hypocrite to say that I'm offended. I don't think it's, you know, it's the reality, you know, but like that's why I have to qualify by saying, you know, as an Asian American, I could see it. But at the end of the day, I can't say it's offensive, you know, because it is what it is. But it takes people like Jeremy Lin to break the barrier.
You just absolved me because, based off Anderson's answer, I felt like so ashamed that I said I wasn't offended.
All right, Anson.
Can I have Ty Lawson?
No.
Anson, totally offensive, mildly Let's offensive, see. Or not offensive at all. Jeremy Lin's going undrafted.
Well, I think, you know, from a business standpoint, for NBA team to, you know, during the draft, you got to think, okay, how much you're willing to spend on this player, right? What kind of talent would he bring? If it's a big guy, of course he's gonna be more, you know, used on a team, less big guys on small point guards or guards. There's way more out there, so the pool's much bigger. And so for me, I think since he didn't really get to play much, you know, college ball in the higher, you know, the upper division, he couldn't really prove himself, even though he
beat unranked opponents.
He did,
year after year.
Obviously, but, you know, not on a consistent basis where someone be like, oh, okay, let's take a chance on him. So I don't think, for me, being undrafted was not really offensive, but having, like, the Warriors, even though they are my team, sign him, I think that was offensive because they knew that they can market him, they knew... Yeah. They can make money off him because of, you know, the Bay Area is all Asian. They already set up the Asian Heritage Night, you know, and all the jersey selling and, you know, all the TV, everything. So I think that would be more offensive than him being undrafted.
Okay. I'm going to go with mildly offensive because of the fact that, if it wasn't, you know, reality, you know, I would find it totally offensive. But again, yeah, the reality of the situation is that, yeah, he is probably going to get overlooked. And so if I accept that, then I'm going to go with mildly offensive. Okay, next topic. Offensive or not, Jeremy Lin's turnover numbers. Greg.
Before I answer that, I got to say, I find it very funny that Anson seems to be like fondling that Seagram 7 bottle. you haven't let it go for like the past 15 minutes.
We like to enjoy our whiskey during our podcast. But Jeremy Lin's turnover numbers, offensive or not?
Not offensive at all for several reasons. First of all, he has not had a chance to practice with these guys. He doesn't know their tendencies yet. So the fact that the ball is in his hands so much, and they're still trying to figure out where they are on the court, of course this is going to happen. Any guy in that position running that system, having the ball in his hands for 45 minutes out of 48 minutes in a game, is going to have a lot of turnovers. So not offensive at all.
Okay. Anderson?
I agree. Not offensive.
Justin?
It's not offensive because... Also, they've won 8 out of the 9. Yeah,
that's a good point, too.
The turnover can't be the category you only look at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the field goal percentage of his teammates when he's in the game versus the field goal percentage of the team when he's not playing.
Right.
You look at certain numbers and you see that he is making his team better.
More efficient.
And they're winning.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, you know, I remember, you know, I was watching the Laker-Knicks game.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And The scary thing is that they're still not used to each other. Yeah. So he can only get better.
Right.
Like once you get the spacing right and he understands the tendency of his teammates, he's only going to get better because he's going to become more efficient.
And again, that's what, I'm sorry to chime in here, but
yeah,
that's,
what are you doing?
You're right. So I'm sorry. That was totally offensive on my part.
That's offensive.
That, you're right.
All right, Anson. Totally
no,
offensive.
No, not offensive. Not
okay.
Offensive.
I agree with everything that you guys said, but I'm going to say mildly offensive only because I have Jeremy Lin on my fantasy team and he's contributing to, you know, some amazing turnover.
God, you sound like a fucking Asian parent. The guy's great in all the category except for one, and you just keep dwelling on that one category.
Not good enough.
But here's the
thing. The Tiger Mom. You're Jeremy Lin's Tiger Mom.
Zero. You know, Tiger Mom, you could have eradicated this because you could have gotten Kevin Durant in a trade.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my
God. You have only yourself to blame.
Kevin Durant for Jaylen straight up.
Next topic, offensive or not, Mike D'Antoni and his long-ass wait to actually getting around to playing Jeremy Lin, right? Because remember, they picked him up at the very beginning of the season. Tony Douglas was obviously not working out. They tried Iman Shumpert. Why did it take Mike D'Antoni so fucking long to play Jeremy Lin? Offensive or not? Greg.
Wow. Why do I have to go first?
I'll go first.
Again, do you want to go first?
Answer.
I don't think it was offensive, but the only part I felt was offensive to me for some reason when he called him that he was his fucking secretary.
Ah, the horse comment. Okay.
Can you wait? I don't know this.
Wait, what happened? What did he say?
Yeah, what's the story
when
this?
They, like the third or second game, he was, and you know, they said to D'Antoni, like, hey, are you concerned about the minutes he's playing, you know? And then D'Antoni's like, well, you know, I'm just going to keep running him. He's my fucking secretariat.
And I'll just keep riding him.
Oh, secretariat. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Riding him, yeah.
Well, what should he say? He's my Fernando Valenzuela.
I don't know, but then I was just like, hey, well, wait a minute.
I didn't find that offensive. I mean, the fact that secretariat's like, you know, one legendary horse, right?
They're
all the races, yeah. So.
All right, just Justin, him, D'Antoni, Coach D'Antoni, offensive or not?
I don't think it's offensive because I think when you especially in the NBA, I mean, you only can prove yourself on the court during games.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that, you know, when you look at him, you're not quite sure what you're getting with him, you know, and I do believe that this, you know, sports is all about opportunities and seizing the moment.
But why, you know, have to lose 11 out of 13 before you try to correct a very obvious problem? I guess that's the question.
Well, I mean, you think about it, okay? You know, Bibby came in. He's over the hill, yeah. Right? He's older. Done. He can't do what Bibby used to do. You know, and he wasn't ever known to be a great defender.
He doesn't clip his fingernails during the game anymore.
Yeah. but you look at Tony Douglas. Tony Douglas did pretty well last year as a rookie, right? So he deserves to be ahead of Jeremy Lin.
Right.
And Shumpert came in, and he was on fire, but he was a combo guard, and so he earned his opportunity. So if you really break it down, you see that, you know, all of the positions were earned. You know, Jeremy Lin, as a fourth guard at practice, what's he doing? You know,
there's no practice this
exactly.
Year. That's the thing.
So the fact that, you know, it had to come down to the Knicks sucking that bad, and for him to be, like, basically 3 days away from being cut replaced by, like, Mike James or whoever, for him to come in and take that opportunity, because really, he was only going to have maybe 3 to 5 minutes to prove himself. That's what it came down to.
They said that he was schooling Barron in practice, though, a few times. And they saw his potential in practice when he was going against Shumpert as a good defensive player.
But here's the other thing, you know, this is actually a testament to why this is such a great story, you know. Darius Morris on the Lakers, he's a rookie, you know, that I he's one of the guys that I really love. Just the way he moved, I thought, wow, that's a guard the Lakers have not had in a long time. I mean, if you look at skill-wise, he's probably more talented than Jeremy Lin. I mean, the guy can move, his lateral movement, speed, everything. Great, great. I went to the Clipper game, and I saw him come in, and I'm like, Morris is in. He's my boy. I'm so excited. Chris Paul took a look at him. Within 30 seconds, broke his spirits. You know? So that just shows you how, you know, when you have opportunities, you got to take it. And Jeremy Lin had to go against Deron Williams. And he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to play. You know, and that's what makes great stories, you know, and at the end of the day, if you look at people who are in the NBA, the talent level is actually not that, you know, we talk the difference
it's
between Smush Parker
line.
And the Michael Jordan is actually not that far. It's all in the head and how you can bounce back from adversity, you know, and he obviously this kid can bounce back,
right.
You know, and that's we all want to feel like we can do that.
That's a great
in everything
lesson.
That we do.
Hell yeah.
Anderson, Coach D'Antoni taking so long.
Well, you know, I think
so.
So, like, I think, you know, looking at back at, you know, just history is just, you know, it's 2020 vision, right? I think that, again, like going back to the narrative, if he had, it's just a perfect storm of like just the Knicks being that desperate, and then really summing up, you know, Jeremy. I mean, going back to his interview saying that, you know, he has to play ball the way he do, and this is like one of his only chance because he was. You know, when he was playing with the Warriors, he was too scared, right? And I think he just grabbed that opportunity. So I think, again, it was just that perfect storm of circumstances just really made that historic moment.
So not offended at all.
Not offended, yeah.
Greg.
It's the same scenario in terms of him not being drafted. So, no, I'm not offended.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough. I'll go not offended at all on this one, too.
So we convinced you.
Well, no, I think
because he's so good on your fantasy team.
But he's got those turnovers.
Yeah. So,
last subject of offensive or not. Okay, defending world champion Dallas Mavericks and their loss to the New York Knicks during Winsanity. Offensive or not? Anson, we'll start off with you. This is the Dallas Mavericks losing to the New York Knicks. Defending world champions. Is it offensive for them?
To lose to them?
Yes. Or should they be? Should the Dallas Mavericks be offended that they lost to the New York Knicks?
Oh.
Huh.
It's a baffling question, man.
Question, huh?
Yeah, to be offended if you.
I know.
Let's just. It's a regular season, guys. I'll take Iverson on this. It's a regular season.
Yeah.
Okay? The Hornets beat the Knicks the next night. They have the second worst record in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I heard some.
Like, if you're offended even somewhat by Mavericks losing to the Knicks, you're the most sensitive person.
I'm sure Mavericks fans are offended by it. No,
it's regular season.
Sorry to change subjects, but do you feel kind of weird or not? I don't know, uncomfortable when you hear those press conferences and those reporters from Asia are trying to ask him a question and they can't even spit it out and it takes them like 2 minutes to explain the question and it's not even about basketball related.
I haven't really seen those.
I haven't seen those press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And your question is.
I don't know. And does it feel like uncomfortable, or are you just like, come on, just do a better job doing being a reporter or something? I think on one of them, you can overhear some of the American reports like, "Who is this person?" Like,
right. Well, but part of that is the tabloid nature of these Asian, newspaper or reporting outlets, because especially in like Taiwan, it's like,
yeah. So I heard tonight actually someone asked, "What, Jeremy?" Like, why can you beat all the good teams, but you always lose to all the sucky teams or something like that?
He's only been playing for 2 weeks.
That sounds very Asian.
Wait, he's only been playing for 2 weeks, but you always lose to the bad teams.
Yeah.
But by the way, because we veered off course for a moment, I also find it interesting, in China, mainland China, they're not broadcasting his games.
No, they are.
Where are they?
That's not what I heard.
I heard the Knicks.
In Taiwan, they are, but in mainland China, they're.
They're really.
It's a Taiwan thing. It's a Taiwan thing.
That's what I'm saying. China's really embracing.
No, they are, dude.
Him also.
Not what I heard.
But they have to be careful, right?
No, I heard this Knicks sold the rights to air it in China.
CCTV or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
No, but it is kind of a. Touches. I mean, China is kind of embracing him,
right?
But the fact that he's, wholeheartedly Taiwanese American.
I don't think it's a Taiwanese angle, guys. It's the other angle. I think that's a little touchy.
But I like how you guys.
Because
he's a devout Catholic, right?
No,
Christian. Christian, very.
But I like how you guys are talking about that stuff where more Taiwanese, I guess, talent in every aspect comes.
Right. Oh, we talked earlier. China.
Yeah. When we bring back to film, we talk about someone like Ang Lee, who actually probably has experienced the same thing. Like, China wants to claim him as one of their own, but there is that kind of, tricky area where he is obviously.
Well, because he's so aberrate. Jeremy Lin is such an aberration to the whole Chinese system of, breeding a. Ivan Drago, right? That's true.
Right.
Ivan Drago, in this context, is probably Yao Ming, as much as I love Yao Ming.
Yeah.
He's probably Ivan Drago.
Or any Olympic athlete.
But
on,
I mean,
Chinese, on any ex-Chinese team.
But that's what they're saying, that the Chinese adopt the more Soviet way of picking athletes. They go and they look at the kids. It's just a different philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And they, at a very young age, they pick them and they say, you're going to be playing, you're gymnastic, you're going to be playing basketball, whatever.
Yeah.
And they decide. Where the Americans, the completely opposite, is that it's a playground mentality. Go and play. And
see what you like, see what you're good at. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting to see those two philosophies at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jeremy Lin is he was literally thrown. I mean, you can't have a better definition of the American system than a kid was born in America, played what he loved, and got rejected and worked all his way up to play to start for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, anything else that you guys want to get off your chest before we reconvene in a couple weeks more for the next podcast?
Mavericks lost, not offensive.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
It doesn't seem like anyone's offended by that.
Oh, well, one of the things I really thought would be cool is if we did a live fantasy trade tonight.
Well, I mean, that could end up drawing this podcast out for another to give 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. Like days? hours?
No, I'm game. All right, I'll take Serge Ibaka and you've got Jeff Teague. Do we all agree the deal's consummated?
I'll give you Markieff Morris for Serge Ibaka. How about that?
Ooh. This is, what the hell is going on, guys? Yeah, see, this is what I have to deal with.
Wait,
this
well,
is the only time that I can deal with somebody is when it's that uneven.
So, I'll give you Kyle Korver. For Serge Ibaka.
That's offensive.
But no, I'm curious. Come on. What are your trade offers?
Huh?
What are your trade offers?
Let's see. I'll take Teague. Who do you want on my side?
No, you're the one that wanted to set this off. What are you thinking?
I want Serge Ibaka.
You want Ibaka?
Yeah.
I'll trade Ibaka for Jeremy Lin.
How much does Ibaka make?
1.3, I think.
How about Serge Ibaka and LeBron James for Jeremy Lin?
What kind of world do we live in when LeBron James had to be with Ibaka for Jeremy Lin?
LeBron James for the first five
LeBron
games.
LeBron James is like two players. Are you insane?
LeBron James,
you're the same guy who rejected Durant for Jeremy Lin.
That's true.
I need that second piece because again, in our league, LeBron James makes $15 million. Jeremy Lin makes $800,000.
Okay, but
because I look at the overall net effect, right? Because you have to, not only do I have to, you know, take back salary space, but the production and the difference in production is small enough that, to me, you can't make up that production going with negative salary
cap
instead.
It's Kevin Durant.
It is Kevin Durant.
It's Durant.
LeBron James and Sergey Bakhmut. All right, I'll throw in Kyle Korver.
Jimmy, you know what's painful?
You're just making my case that you guys are crazy.
You know,
I'm in a crazy fucking fantasy league with a bunch of, like, this is the only way I can make a trade.
Well, it's you're the one who wants to try to make a trade live on the podcast.
Right, but the only way is that my own brother is squeezing a draft pick out of me.
Well,
Why not, though? Why can't he? Why can't he squeeze?
Because of you guys. You guys are always complaining. Always complaining.
So why can't we squeeze something? All you gotta do is say no, right?
Right. You gotta be like Jeremy Lin.
No.
You know, ignore the naysayers.
I am the Asian in this fucking league. I have to work twice as hard as you fucking assholes.
What are you talking about?
Wait, on this one now, I'm totally confused.
Yeah.
Anson, you are...
I'm Chinese American.
No,
thank you. So that's Asian.
I'm fucking Asian in this fucking league.
Jimmy.
You guys are all...
Taiwanese American.
Okay, Anderson?
No, not literal.
Oh,
not
okay.
Literal. Yeah. Not literal. Not literal.
He's speaking metaphorically.
I don't understand metaphors. What does this mean?
As an immigrant, you always have to work twice as hard.
Like Jeremy Lin does.
Oh, woe is me. Woe is me.
Okay, I don't think we're actually going to accomplish this objective of making a trade. And so with that, we'll fade out with our music and join us again for our next podcast on The Offensive. And we'll check in and see what it's like.
You offended my family.
You have offended me. You have offended my family.